the more I think on it, the more I remember a lot of things that I have noticed through the years, how the Antichrist spirit is always around. And this is something that even Paul wrote about in the Word of God, that the Antichrist spirit is already in the world. And the truth of the matter is, there are millions of these spirits that are out there, and they're not looking to trip up the sinner or the false prophet or take control over the teachers that teach false doctrines. They're not looking to convince anybody that claims to be a Christian who hasn't really truly done it according to God's Word. They're not looking to captivate their lives and take over, because they're all set. They don't need to fool with them. But when you become a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled, holy and righteous in the eyes of God individual, when you become a child of God, or even when you decide you would like to obey God in the truth, suddenly you're marked and you are a target. And you may wonder sometimes, why do so many sinners out there seemingly have it better than I do? Why does it seem like some of those people living in the world prosper while I struggle? Or you may sometimes be a little envious maybe of some of your relatives or friends that maybe get a raise on the job when you didn't get it, or they seem to be happy or able to go on trips and do a lot of things. Maybe they got money and you don't. You have to struggle, and even sometimes you may have to borrow some money from them, and it seems kind of strange to you to be blessed of God not to have money and have to go to a sinner who's being so blessed to get your bills paid. The trick in this is, when we come out of the world, I mean, this it involves this, when we come out of the world, if we're truly going to be a child of God, we forsake the world. We give up the world. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And we're instructed to love not the world, are the things in the world. And if we do love the world that we came out of, the love of the Father is not in us. And so we need to make sure that we understand the Word of God to the point that if we are being whispered to by the Antichrist spirit, which is not really fighting against you, it's fighting against the God that you're serving or wanting to serve, because this battle was going on before we were born. It's been going on a long time. And it's in the unseen realm. I mean, these powers of darkness have been at war and are at war, and they've learned many tricks that they can pull on the human race. They're pretty dumb, but yet they can seemingly outsmart some, because some of us don't fully have our minds made up, because perhaps they're not truly convinced. If we're absolutely convinced that we are a child of God and His Spirit is in us, then we probably won't have so many problems with the wiles of the devil, because we will know where we stand all the time. But the folks that are up and down, in and out, wishy-washy, can't stick, it's not that they're not good people. It's not that they don't have integrity necessarily. They'd probably do better at sticking with one thing if they would forget God completely. I mean, end up in hell doing that, but still, when you can't focus and be determined on the goal in your life and stick with it, when you have another option that you're thinking about as maybe something that you could fall back on if you needed to, if there's something else in your life other than God that you're thinking that you might go that way at some point if you think you might need it, then you're a double-minded person. And according to the Word of God, you're unstable in all your ways. A person that's unstable in all their ways can't consistently live for God. And neither can they consistently live for the devil, right? Because no matter where you find yourself, something's not quite right. Because when you're double-minded, you know, wanting to live for God and still wanting to be accepted in the world or partake of the things of the world, you're in the world thinking about the things of God. And when you're in the church, you're thinking about the things of the world. And you can't really focus on the preaching because you're remembering what it is you came out of and what you're about to go back to. But you just come to church because you like it here. It seems good, and it feels good to say hallelujah when everybody else does. And actually, we even get blessed no matter if we're double-minded or single-minded, just because we're here where the blessings are falling. But there is a better way to live. If we can learn some lessons about these tricks of Satan, because the people that are going to make it are the overcomers. When you get into the Word of God and you read about the people who are truly going to be saved and be happy forever, they're the ones who have overcome. And they have overcome by the word of their testimony, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you read about what it takes to be an overcomer, it's all about trust, having faith, being determined, having your mind made up, and not looking back. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Know what you want, and then just drop everything else that would interfere with it. Then ask God for help, and He's there to help because that's what He's waiting for. What I read in the Word of God and what I've been learning all these years is God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be delivered. God wants you to be set free from the devil. God wants you to win no matter how many times you've lost. God wants you to be able to get up on top of it all no matter what kind of fool you made out of yourself. But Satan's trick is to try to tell you you've messed up so many times, God won't want you now. God doesn't love you anymore. God won't have you now. He's lost all respect in you. No, God's not depending on you for anything. He knows who you are, and He knows that you can't do it by yourself. He also knows the power that He has, and the reason He provided us with His Word and with His plan of salvation and with the blood on the old rugged cross is because He knew that we would utterly fail if it were left up to us. And even though we are planning to be Christians and go home to be with Jesus, still sometimes because we're mortal and we are in the flesh, we yield to that flesh just a little bit, and God sees it happening. He knows it's happening. And we might tell lies, we might steal, we might do all kinds of things, become envious, jealous, do things that we won't even speak of. It could be really something terrible. And God knows all about it. But there's no sense in trying to hide it or cover it up or to try to feel like that God doesn't know about it, because He does. But the trick of Satan, the Antichrist spirit, the one that's against your God and wants you to feel like you can't make it, he's lying to you. He's more afraid of God than you are afraid of the devil. He has no power against your God, even if you're a dirty, rotten, lousy sinner wanting to serve God. Because if you ever wanted to serve Him, you ever obeyed Him in a little measure, if you ever got baptized in His name and made up your mind, I'm going to live for Him, God acknowledged that. As the song said the other night, He hasn't brought us this far to leave us. He hasn't taken us to this point to give up on us. He didn't start us out thinking that He couldn't see us all the way through. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that starts us on the race and helps us to win the race. No matter how many times we stumble, no matter how many times we fall, God is a victorious God. God is a master over all situations. God is able to outsmart the devil every time, no matter how many times. Praise Him today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He comes along like a snake crawling through the congregation trying to convince people that, you don't have what it takes. You're not worthy. You know things about you that nobody else knows. And we all have moments when we hope that nobody else knows what we're thinking or what we might have said when a word slipped or what we might have been tempted to do that we may not have even done, but we've got a guilty conscience because we were even tempted. Or maybe you dreamed a dream that you wished you hadn't dreamed and it's bothering you. Or maybe you actually did something that you just miserably failed and you wished you hadn't done it. And you just hope nobody finds out. Well, don't live in a state of fear. If everybody finds out and everybody turns against you because they think you're a slob, call on the name of the Lord. You still have a friend. A friend who will never leave you. A friend who will never forsake you. A friend that's all you need to be able to overcome all things and overcome the devil and make it with success all the way to the end, no matter who else does not. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not reading the Bible, but I got this all out of the Bible. It's all through the Word of God. The overcomers are the ones who learn to let God save them from all things, from all the fiery darts of the wicked. I mean, he throws those darts. The trouble is this. If you're not really alert and you're not really prayed up and you're not really studying the Word of God as, you know, I mean, a lot of us read the Word, but we're not really studying into it. We read the Word like a lot of people listen to the preaching. They listen for what they want to hear. So sometimes we read the Word, but if we're reading a part that seems to condemn us, we go to another chapter. Because there are some nice things in the Bible that we would rather read sometimes. You ever been there? You ever been reading the Bible and say, oh, you know, I wish that wasn't there, because, you know, it's kind of like, you can't use that excuse, the preacher was talking straight at me because somebody's been talking to him. No, you're there in your bedroom, laying on your bed by yourself, and the Word just popping up in your face said, don't do this. And if you do it, your soul will be lost. And you just got through doing that. I just changed pages. God so loved the world that He gave us something. Now that's better. God loves me. But still, that other scripture still bothers you. And if you don't have some solid base understanding and a little bit of knowledge of the Word of God, Satan's tricks may throw you and cause you to go running to whatever it was in the world that you thought would give you relief before. And you get out there and it's not your answer. It never was your answer. It's not your answer now. Then you're more miserable because that old liar that tricked you convinced you that you needed to go back to the way you used to be. Going back to the way it used to be never works. It always leaves you miserable. Especially when you had a taste of this heavenly gift. Once you've had a taste of this, you're never satisfied until you get more of this. Have you ever tasted of something that was so good you wanted more? Around Thanksgiving time, maybe? Or maybe that homemade pie that Grandma made. You get a taste of something and you just want more of it. And you can go for months remembering how good it was. And no matter what else you eat that's similar, if it doesn't have that taste, you'll always compare. I like it maybe, but it's not as good as what I had back at Martha's house or back at Grandma's house or Uncle Ted's house or at that restaurant out in Arizona when we were traveling out with. Man, they had something in that it was good. We need to take another trip. I'd go to California just to go through Arizona just to stop at that restaurant one more time to eat a piece of that pie. You know, and those thoughts and those memories of how good it was linger on. And even the bad things that happened, if we let them, we'd remember those ugly times, those terrible times. And we hope we never have to taste of that again. Have you ever tasted something you didn't want to ever taste it again? Like that can of beer I tried to drink at that bus stop. And somebody left that can there and I took a sip. It wasn't beer, I don't think. Whatever it was. It made me never want to drink it again. That was a long time ago. But you know what? When I said that to you, I taste it now. That has been 50 years ago. And I still taste it when I talk about it. Even when I look at a can of beer, I have that remembrance of that terrible, horrible, burning sensation that caused me to start spitting. It's terrible. I don't know what it was. And you can guess if you want to. I've guessed for many years. It was horrible. And it was warm. Ooh, yeah. Brother Joe's got his hanky up to his mouth ready to... As long as I live, I will never forget that taste. Or that time I was tuning a piano, and I saw something dark under the keys, and I reached up there to move it with my hand, and it was a dead mouse that had probably been dead for 5 years, because all it was crust, and when I touched it, it disintegrated in my hand. Oh, isn't that horrible? And for months, I could not, no matter how much I would wash with soap, no matter how many showers I took, that smell was on my hand. And even now, while I'm talking to you, I can smell that crazy mouse. And it makes me want to go, ooh. While I'm talking to you also, I can remember Grandma's biscuits. She lived on a farm in a place called Lesterville, halfway between Walnut Ridge and Pocahontas. That's where she lived. And she had chicken coop out back, had an old pump out in the yard. The whole yard was in the middle of a cotton patch in front, back, and all around. But her house and her yard and her barn, their barn was in between all this cotton. They picked cotton every day with their hands to live. They were called sharecroppers. They didn't have much, but she could sure make the biscuits. And we'd go to her house. She had an old churn, and they had cows. They'd milk the cows, and they'd make their own butter. It was homemade, and she would make those hot biscuits. And when she would I'm watching the clock over there, I got plenty of time. And when she would get through making those biscuits, I would always be standing there with my mouth just watering, because there's something about Grandma's hot homemade biscuits on the farm with all that butter and some jelly. Only I think she had molasses, and I don't know what. I used a little bit of everything she had on that stuff. And man, anytime they'd say, "We're going to go see Grandma and Grandpa," I was ready to go. And while I'm talking to you right now, I still remember that setting, those biscuits, how they tasted and how it felt and how good it was. Amen. I was so into my thoughts yesterday that I called Sister Jennifer at work, because I remembered how good the last cornbread was. The last time she brought me cornbread, it was so good. And I was sitting at my computer hungry, thinking, I wish I could just get one more bite. And then it seemed like a spirit came on me. And it said, if you want one, just ask for it. I picked up the phone, and by the time I started dialing, I was wanting it so bad, I didn't care if I woke her up. I didn't care if she was working. I didn't care if she was driving a car. I didn't care if she was spanking her kids. I wanted to talk to her. And I found her at work, and I said, I need some cornbread. You know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. I think there's more than one meaning to that. She may not have thought to bring it today if I hadn't asked, but I asked and I received. And I want you all to leave early tonight so I can eat it. Do you remember how good it was the first time you surrendered your life to pray to God? When you finally gave in and said, I'm through with the world. It's over. I'm going to serve Him to the best of my ability as long as I live. And when you were going through that, it tasted so good. It felt so good. It was so good. And you will never forget that. You will never forget that as long as you live. And no matter where you go in the world, it'll always come back to you how good it was and how good it will be if I can enter into that once again. Praise God. The answer is just keep it as simple as Grandma's biscuits, Jennifer's cornbread. If it tasted good, it's still good if you want to taste it now. Hallelujah. God's blessings never get old. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All it takes is wanting it enough that you won't let any trick of Satan, any negative thought, anything that's against you, anything that you've done wrong, anything that you ever tasted that was bad, anything you've ever been a part of that you're ashamed of, if you won't let that stop you from asking Him for it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink at the fountain and the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now that could include a lot of people. The double-minded who are stuck out there in the rut thinking, I can't be saved. Every time I try, I fail. Every time I try to live right, the whole world falls apart. It seems like it's a curse on me. Every time I try to live for God, it seems like that's when the devil tears me up. Well, absolutely. You need to make up your mind if you want to live for God or not so you can tear Him up. Because it's that not knowing for sure. That's like riding on a car, holding on to the back bumper with your fingernails. What do you call it now? The fender? We call it bumpers when I was a kid. Is it still a bumper? Anyway, if they still have them. But that's like, you know, you want to go to Kalamazoo, Michigan. So they rev up the car and you take off to the car. And then you just go out and you grab a hold of the back of the car with your hand and say, let's go. You want to go. But that's not a very good way to ride because there may be a bump along the way. You might get tired of dragging your feet after a while. You might get your knees skin up a little bit. You might fall and hurt yourself. That's just not a good way to ride. But that's the way some people are seemingly serving God today. They want to go to heaven, but they just grab a hold of a little small part of what it takes to get us there. And that's filled with all kinds of bumps. And so many ways that you might be jarred loose and so many things that can happen because it's a straight road, but it's not always an easy road. We do need God's help. It's easy for God, but not for us. And so we're trying to get there, and there's no way that anybody can come up any other way except God's plan, God's way. And His way is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everybody first, say first. That's what the Word says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So if you read anything in the Word of God about Jesus that's good, he's saying, seek after that. Seek after what it was that you read about that was good in Jesus Christ. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that God wants to manifest to this dark and dying, crazy world that you live in. But it's difficult for God to manifest His goodness if you're sitting in a bar room drunk, wanting to serve Him. And it's difficult for Him to manifest His goodness if you're sitting in church thinking about how good it would be to have one more drink, wanting to serve Him. I hear talk about drinking, dope, and all that stuff. I'm just saying, hey, there are a lot of things just as bad or maybe even worse than all that. There is nothing in this world that is as good as serving God. And the truth of the matter, there's nothing in this world as easy as serving God once you get to the point of really having your mind made up and really being determined. No matter what, with God's help, if it kills me, I will serve Him. Thank you, Jesus. The only way the devil gets his foot in the door is because you leave the door open for him. That's the only way. Otherwise, God has a key to lock that rascal out and he can't get in. You got a hedge of protection around you. There is no way Satan can get to you unless there is a way that he can get to you that's not guarded. Because when you're fully in the hands of God, there is no passage for the Antichrist spirits. Hallelujah. See, when those darts come at you, they hit you and they don't even hurt. They come right into your heart. Dart full of poison evils. You don't even know it hit you. You're there in church, getting blessed, everybody's praising the Lord, and you're just having a good time. But some little thought or some little maybe angry moment, some little ungodly way that you're thinking about maybe comes and it comes into your heart. It's a fiery dart of the wicked one. It didn't hurt. You didn't know it. You ever got hurt and you didn't know it till later? I had a car wreck and I didn't know I was hurt until I came to. And I looked into the mirror slowly as somebody was up in the van behind me with their hand under my head. And I looked in that mirror and I saw a bloody face. And it was me. I couldn't believe it. And I looked at the car that had been meeting me head on that suddenly decided to turn in front of me while I was going 65 miles an hour. And I plowed into the side of that thing didn't have time to hit the brake, just hit it, knocked that car. I demolished that car. See, and the motor in the back of my Volkswagen van was in the back. So I was right up front where I just smashed that car going 65 miles an hour. And so when that hand on the back of my head raised me up and I looked in that mirror, I just laid back in that hand and decided to die there. But I couldn't die. So I opened my eyes, since I was not going to die yet. I looked down and a great big knot formed on my leg. And I thought, oh my, I got a broken leg. I probably got that much blood on top of my brain. I probably got bleeding of the brain. And probably going to bleed to death before they can get me to the hospital. So again, I laid back, closed my eyes. Goodbye, world. But I couldn't die. They put me on the stretcher. Took me to the ambulance. As they placed me in the ambulance, I peeped at the front of my Volkswagen bus. And I said, I'm dead. That thing was demolished. How could anybody live through that? So I laid my head down on that cot, on that stretcher. And again, I said, goodbye, world. that I couldn't die. They took me into the emergency room. Worked on me. I saw them working with that big knot on my leg and punching it with some kind of needle stuff. I put my head back and I said, "This is it. I'm coming home, Jesus." And I couldn't die. After a while, the doctor said, "You can go home now." I was almost disappointed. Because I thought I was hurt worse than that. No broken bones. A slight concussion. He sewed up, he put a little incision in the leg and sewed it up so it would get well. He said, "You can go home now." I thought they'd at least keep me a few days so everybody could feel sorry for me at least. Sent me home. It was not until about 3 days later that I realized I had places on me that I didn't know existed. Little blue spots started turning up on my ribs and up and down my arms. But I didn't know I was hurt in those places. I didn't realize it. A few days ago, I got up here and I gave you a request because I felt something was terribly wrong. And I didn't tell you who it was. I think some of you probably figured out it. I might be talking about myself. Well, I was. Here's what I did. I went to take a shower before church. And suddenly I noticed on my side there's this great big knot the size of a cantaloupe. And I thought, "My God, I got cancer in its last stages." Really, I came to church that night ready to die in a few days. I was just going to go through the details, go see the doctor and let him tell me that so I could come back and tell Brother Joe, "Get ready," and write everything down I want you to do with all the stuff so you wouldn't get confused among yourself, so I could just, check into a nursing home or something, close my eyes and wait on it. But I didn't really want that to happen. That's why I requested prayer that night. But it didn't help the next morning when I went to the computer and I Googled. I started looking for somebody that had a big knot on his side, about my age. Here's what I found. Just before I came to Norwich, back 26 years ago, I had another knot about the size of a softball on top of my shoulder here. And I went and had that cut out by a surgeon. I thought it might be cancer, but he announced to me, "It's not cancer." He said, "You're going to be all right," and he took that away. But he did say, "But someday in the future, you might have to deal with something on your side, because there is a mass there, similar to the one that was on your shoulder, that may grow, and you might have to have that checked to see if perhaps it might be cancer someday." So I had that on my mind when I saw that thing. Then I went to the internet, and I found a man who was 64 years old, who in the same year when I had that knot on my shoulder removed, he had a knot on his right shoulder. And they cut it off, and he went all these years with no problem until a few weeks ago a big knot showed up on his left side, and he's terminally ill with cancer. And I read that, and I said, "Oh God, this is it." So I thought about, what am I going to do for the rest of my life, the next 2 weeks? I don't know. Have you ever thought you were going to die? I was down in Arkansas after I'd had a doctor's checkup here. I was at a youth camp in Arkansas, and I got a call from the doctor here in Norwich while I was enjoying youth camp in Arkansas. From a nurse saying, "You need to come back to the doctor's office right away. The doctor found something he wants to tell you privately." Yeah. There wasn't any sense of me staying at camp anymore. There wasn't anything I could get out of those. All I could think of is cancer. or it's something dreadful, you know. I rushed to get back to Norwich, drove all the way back, nonstop. That's a hard drive when you just 1,400 miles, wore myself out, went to that doctor to see what was up, and the news he gave me was not serious at all. He just told me something I might want to get checked out someday just to make sure I stay, keep a check on it. I wanted to hit him, or that nurse, you know. Robbed me of the rest of that youth camp. Well, oh, by the way, that wasn't cancer I had. Sorry, I'm going to be around for a while, it looks like. It was a big bruise. I'm glad I didn't stop with that one place that I looked. I think the devil wants to show you something bad to scare you a little bit. But I bruise easy. And you know, I think I had the swine flu a few weeks ago, and I was coughing those real deep coughs, and all my ribs got so sore. And I read about how so many people had symptoms like this with the swine flu, bruising their ribs, blood not having any place to go, big old blood clot form on their side, you know, and I got to thinking, well, maybe that happened. And it turns out that's what it was. I didn't go to the doctor, I just Googled it enough till I figured it out. Yeah, something like that. And it's all dissolving as it should, you know. And thank God for that. But it was, you know, it's something that happens to you and you find out later whether it's good or whether it's bad. Or you get hurt. I've actually been standing in church here preaching to you. And at the end of the sermon, looked down at my hand and had big old bruises on it. And I tried to remember, how did that happen? I don't remember that happened. Then I remember, well, I did hit the pulpit a couple of times. And you'd think, well, God would keep that from happening, wouldn't he? Well, he didn't, evidently. But I didn't know till probably 2 hours after it happened, since I preached so long sometimes. Oh, I'm watching the clock, it's not that long. I didn't know till the end of the message that I had hurt myself. What I'm getting at is these darts come into your heart and you don't know that you've been hurt. You're on the battlefield for the Lord. The Lord is here on your side, guiding your footsteps, making a way for you in the wilderness. But there's never a time in your life when the battle's not going on. And if you just look off a little bit and you become complacent and you're not listening to God, you're not watching, you're not praying, and you're not mindful of the enemy that's out to take you out, you can get yourself shot. Just be out in the open, because he never sleeps. The Antichrist spirits never slumber. They're coming from all directions. They always have you in their sights. And as soon as you give them the opportunity, something's going to hit you. And you may not know it until later. But it starts showing up little by little. It's like slight amounts of poison being released into your heart or into your system, a little at a time. You find yourself not having the desire to do some of the things that you were doing that were so, you know, when you were more excited, you were more into it, you couldn't hardly wait to get to church, couldn't hardly wait for a chance to testify, couldn't hardly wait to just raise those hands and praise the Lord. But now, you've kind of grown up a little bit, maybe become more mature, and you just sit back and let the younger people or the other people get blessed. And for some reason, you keep on noticing the faults in some. And even if you don't say it, there's a complaint that has replaced the praise you once had. Now, if you're not speaking your complaint, you're thinking about things that seemingly justify the fact that you're not into it quite like you were because of how brother so-and-so is and how sister so-and-so and what you saw in that one. And if you're not able to grab a hold of this before it goes too far, it won't be long before you'll be thinking that this whole church is backslid. when you're the one that's going backward. But this is the way this poison works. It's an antichrist spirit that has shot at you to try to get you to quit serving God. And then you find yourself drifting even more. Now things that were once attracting you, pulling you, and you wanted to be a part of, and you used to have fun doing these things, suddenly you start remembering how you enjoyed those things. But they all seem to be going on when we have church. But, you know, since so many things is not quite like I'd like for them to be in our church, since brother so-and-so is not acting right, and sister so-and-so didn't shake my hand, and the ones that usually smile don't seem to be smiling anymore, I don't guess it would hurt just to take off on a Tuesday or a Thursday and hang out with some of my old friends. Seems harmless enough, but it's just a little release of some more of that evil poison. Backsliding and turning against your God and going out into the world doesn't always happen suddenly. Although in God's eyes, as soon as it starts, it happened. But as we all see it, you still look all right. You're still going to church. You're still lifting your hand. You're still testifying, preaching, still singing those songs, clapping your hands. And then when all of a sudden you're just not showing up anymore, then everybody's surprised. Because it happens so gradually that nobody really notices it, including sometimes your own family, until you're not even interested in church anymore. Until that baby gets run over by a car. Oh, that changes the whole situation. All of a sudden, reality kicks back in. You go from finding fault with everybody else and say, oh God, if you would just save my baby, I'll live for you. Would have been better if you'd have been living for him, praying to him, asking daily that he would protect your family and your children, than to wait until a calamity takes place to get you mindful of him again. You might ask, are you saying that God would cause something like that to happen to my baby? I'm not saying that at all. Pat Robinson said this week that because Haiti decided to serve the devil a couple hundred years ago, that's why they went through this. I disagree with that man 100%. They ought to take him off of television for saying that. That is a foolish thing to say. God doesn't kill people and cause earthquakes because of what they're doing. There are a bunch of praying people, Holy Ghost-filled people in Haiti. Amen. If God was going to do that, the United States would disintegrated a long time ago. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Thank God for Huckabee. At least he tells it right. And I hope Robinson listens to me on this thing. You quit that. Hallelujah. Now, the devil's not going to kill your baby because of what you did. But it could be possible that if you'd been faithful to your God and still enjoying tasting of those good things like you enjoyed before, that calamity that happened or that terrible thing that went wrong in your life may not have happened. Why? Because you wouldn't have been going through the same pathways and the same circumstances that caused you to be there in that particular time or be a part of whatever it was that caused this terrible thing to happen. All it takes is just a few seconds different to go from having a head-on collision to no wreck at all. And who knows what just being in church and serving God faithfully, how that would have changed all the pathways and all the circumstances. So that child which is now under the car bleeding to death could have been saying, thank you, Jesus. My daddy and mama take me to church. And they're always up there praising God. And when I grow up, I want to be just like that. Hallelujah. Because a lot of things do happen. I've had a lot of friends who have died with cirrhosis of the liver. I think of Charlie Ball. He was just a young man in his 20s. I met Charlie when I was in the music business. He came into my music store, bought a real beautiful saxophone. He stood there and played that sax so good. I said to Charlie, "Man, I wish you could come to our church and play that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee." And he said, "I'll be glad to do that." We became friends. I've got a recording of Charlie and me playing together. I played my trombone, and he played his saxophone that night about 40-something years ago. Beautiful song. People worshiped God. At the end of the song, Charlie laid his horn down, got down on his knees, and started praying to God. But he left that moment and went back to his drinking. And a few days later, I got the word, "Charlie's dead. Charlie's dead." Liquor had eaten up his liver. And he didn't know it until it was too late. He just knew he was having a lot of problems. He just couldn't stay away from the bottle. What could have been a life of victory, what could have been a life filled with joy and happiness, as Charlie bent his knees calling on God. I believe God heard his prayer. But he made a choice before he gave himself a chance to learn what this is all about. Went back to doing the things he'd been doing, and he died. So many other friends. And I've told this to people before, and they said, "Well, you know, people that don't drink get that disease too." That's true. But in my own life, I could tell you that at least 10 to 1 of them were alcoholics. But that old trickster plants thoughts in your mind. There's always something else. So, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. If you don't believe that, just listen to our Congress. Listen to our president. Pelosi, whatever her name is. Pelosi. She reminds me of somebody I used to know. Oh, my God. Thank God for God. It's amazing how people can look you straight in the eyes and just lie to you. Our own president, we're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN. Everybody cheers. Make me your president. I promise you, no more behind the closed door meetings. Everything will be out in the open. And we will broadcast health care discussions, private discussions on C-SPAN. Next state, here he comes again. Thousands of people. I promise you, when I become president, you can plan on openness, and you can be assured that everything will be done, that you will be able to observe our decisions and how we make our decisions, because we will be on C-SPAN. Next state. I promise everything will be done on C-SPAN. Well, praise God for God. When God makes a promise, if God were to say, "Everything I do can be seen on C-SPAN," it would be on C-SPAN. I'm not trying to knock Obama. I don't know any president that didn't tell lies like that. And the next one we get will probably tell lies like that. You can't count on the systems of government. They lie. You can't count on anybody that's not serving God. They lie. You can't count on the spirits that try to make you think everything's going to be all right. They lie. Every little old idiot that whispers to you, "You're all right like you are," they lie. These are antichrist spirits. All you need to do is shake that snake off in the fire like Paul did on that island when a viper fastened itself to his hand, and he just shook it off in the fire and just kept on being what he was. That didn't stop him from loving his God. Shake it off in the fire. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Hallelujah. But you see these symptoms. We've seen it here several times through the years. And I've seen it in other places. People start drifting. I'm not giving glory to that. I'm just saying to all of you, and my blog is going to be very large, This is just the introduction of my blog that I'm writing that you'll start seeing if you want to look for it. But these anti-Christ spiritual tricks, always deceiving, telling you and telling me that something's wrong. It doesn't matter if something's wrong. God's still God. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe that enough that you think you could just, if you've ever tasted of His goodness, do you think you could just make up your mind today? I'm not going to believe any of those lies of the devil. What I tasted of was good, and I'm going to keep on tasting of it no matter what. Look, even if you've been lying to yourself and lying to us and lying to God, you can still get right today. And you can still be right tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with this church. We have not changed. Oh, we do a lot of changing in things that we do. We change tools. Tools get old. We throw stuff away. We make piles of stuff we don't need. We do all kinds of things around here. But what God planted in this place years ago, it's still here. It hasn't gotten old. It's fresh. It's new. This God that fills people with the Holy Ghost, heals people, does miracles. The God that met you when you bowed down to Him that time, and it was so good, and you would like to do it again, but so many things have gone wrong. Kick the devil out today. God wants you to come to Him. Even if you're weak and heavy laden, come unto Me, saith the Lord. I will give you rest. Come boldly to the throne. In the time of need, find your mercy. God loves you. There's nothing wrong with you that God can't fix, and He wants to fix it now. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. He wants you to serve Him. Thank you, Jesus. And don't put it off. The wisdom of God is in the instructions in the Bible. Don't put it off. Don't delay. The accepted time is now. Today is a day of salvation. There's a reason for this. This is wisdom of God beckoning to His people who are drifting, who are walking away, who are being led astray by the evil one. He's saying unto you, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Go to church. Get with the people of God. Listen to the testimonies. Be there. Be a part. What is He doing? He's reaching for you because somebody else is trying to pull you out. Something else is trying to take you away. God doesn't want to lose any of His sheep. He doesn't want to lose you. No matter how the devil has tripped you up, no matter how many ways you skin up, no matter how many times you fail, God wants you back. You don't have to come up here and squall and say, oh God, please help me to come back to You. No, come up here with your mind made up that you're going to serve Him. And kick the devil in the face as you come up here. Make up your mind. You've had it with sin. And let's get with this thing. Hallelujah. Repentance is sure, be sorry that you sinned, but don't linger on it too much. God's not interested in you being a crybaby all the time. He's looking for a soldier to stand up and fight. Let's all come around the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fight against the devil and his dark ways. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, when you're fighting for righteousness, you got some help that never gets defeated. When you're on the right side in this deal, you won't lose. Thank you, Jesus. Even if you get wounded, you'll be healed. If you get hurt, you'll find the soothing, comforting hand of the God that loves you. That'll kiss your hurt away and make all things okay. Thank you, Jesus. Your worst enemy may not be the devil, it just may be you. Because the old carnal mind is enmity against God. It wants to put a wedge between how you really want to be and how it really can be. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself thinking with a wall against your thoughts that you seemingly can't get through. But you don't have to go through the wall. Call on the God who's able to break that wall right where you are. He's not on the other side of the wall. He's on the side that you're on because God is with you. If you feel like you're praying against the wall, turn around. Because God's right there with you. Thank you, Jesus. I've heard people say, I don't think my prayers are getting past the ceiling. Well, get down on your face. He's underneath you then. Because he's right there. You don't have to get your prayer past the ceiling. He's right where you are. As soon as those words come out of your lips, God is hearing them right then. They don't go to the ceiling. They don't go to the floor. They don't go to the wall. You're being heard right now when you call on the name of the Lord. All you got to do is call His name and make up your mind. I want to serve You. Oh, I want a taste of Your goodness. I want this wonderful Holy Ghost joy in my heart. I want to live for You 7 days a week. I want to live for You all day, all night. And when the tempter comes, I'm asking You for the wisdom and the power to be able to put that rascal right out of my life. Once and for all. Let's praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the way that You never forsake us. You never lose a battle. You always are on the side of the ones who look to You. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Thank You, Jesus. All things are possible to the believers. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Your name. There's nothing too hard for the God we serve. Not even my life is too hard for the God that wants me to serve Him. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. The old devil said, but look how many times you failed. No, don't look how many times you failed. God's not even counting. Look to Jesus, and you won't fail. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for strength to move in this congregation. In every heart and in every mind, open up avenues of understanding of where God is and expose the tricks of the evil one. Help everybody in this place to get the power of God against that wicked one. Move us up before the evangelist gets here to a powerhouse where miracles are happening and God is getting glory and people are receiving joy in their life. Let that be happening before the preacher comes. Let him come and just enjoy being a part of what he's been seeing, where he was going on before he gets here. Jesus, help us to already be baptizing people before the preacher comes. Because you're already here and you're wanting some of us to go ahead and just let You have Your way right now. In fact, You're wanting all of us to. Help us to do that, Jesus. Help us to do that, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Now, I believe with all my heart that we're in a church where the truth is preached, where we believe the Word of God that's necessary to save us. I believe that we have experienced true salvation through the wonderful power that's in the name of Jesus. And just putting our hope and our trust in God, I believe that there are several of us here today who have experienced this wonderful joy, and we have that wonderful joy right now. When you're raised in a house and you've been around for a long time, you've been blessed in so many ways, and you've got rich parents, you got a good church that your mother, where you came to God, and you got a wonderful father who's the richest King of Kings that there ever was, who can do anything at any time for his children. Doesn't matter how rich or poor you think you are, you're richer than you've ever been just knowing him and being his child, because he has all the wealth in his hand, and you belong to him. So there's nothing impossible for his children to accomplish. You don't have to worry about how much it's going to cost. He'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about what it's going to take for you to get out here and raise the funds. The door will open, and the need will be met. Well, we do as we're led to do what we can. But we've never depended on what we could do. We've always had to depend on what God can do as we do what we can do. Then we give God the glory for the fact that it gets done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you're a child of the King of Kings. You're serving the one who's able to do anything and everything you need done in your life. It's easy to get spoiled when you live like that. The rich kids sometimes are the most honored kids on the block. You see kids that have been raised in a nice place with parents that had it all, that gave them everything, living notoriously. They're the ones that sometimes rob the banks, and you read about them in the news shooting people because there's nothing else for them to do except, they get bored just being taken care of all the time. Well, there's kind of a parallel that can happen if you allow it, but we don't have to allow it. Even in the church. For years, we sat around here and enjoyed the blessings. We got the great God. We're serving him. He's seeing after us. We got everything it takes. And if we're not careful, we'll become so spoiled, we won't even want to see a sinner walk through this door. Because they're of the other class. They haven't got what we've got. You can even read about that as the disciples followed Jesus. When the multitude cried out for help, they wanted some of them just to shut their mouth, because that was their Jesus. He's my Jesus. And we get feeling like, hey, this is our church. This is the way we've always done it. This is our God. And we find it strange sometimes when a few strange new faces show up. That shouldn't be strange. That should be the ordinary way it is every time we have church. If we're not making enough noise in this town, and letting enough light shine in this darkness to cause somebody to want to come here every time we have church, we're just not noticing enough yet. We're not praising him loud enough yet. Have you noticed in all these letters I'm getting from Brother Dan down in St. Louis, there's a common thread through all of it. They don't wait till they get to church. The kid has pneumonia. Just got to the doctor a few minutes ago. He said he's got pneumonia, got it bad, take him to the hospital. No, I'm taking him down to the prayer meeting going on over to school. Go to school, have a few new converts, hadn't known God very long, gather around, lay hands on the baby gets well, take him back to the doctor within a couple of hours from the time the doctor x-rayed everything, and the doctor said, wow, whoever these praying people are, they're praying to the real God that heals, I guess, because, man, he's well, the kid's well. And the nurse is standing back in the corner saying, and asked a simple question to a new convert who just got the Holy Ghost a couple of months ago, standing there with a baby that just got healed, and asked, tell me more about this. Well, instead of saying, well, we have church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, come over to my house. That's what's happening over and over. We need to learn this lesson. Don't wait till church. When they're interested, now's the time to act. take them out for a coffee or a Coke, or invite them to your house, or invite them just to go sit in the car and talk a while. Have a Bible with you. Have a DVD with you. Do something other than just invite them to church. Let God use you so that you can come forth with some testimonies. And we went over to my house and sat down and listened to a little music. And then we got down and started praying. And that person that didn't know anything about God a few hours ago started speaking in tongues at my coffee table. And I called Pastor Rutledge and asked him to get the water in the tank. We're on our way to the church. That's the kind of baptismal services I'm looking forward to. The kind when you go out, pray them through, see them through to the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, and call as if it's an emergency. Get the water in there fast. We're on our way. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.